Okay, good morning, brothers. You may be seated. Okay, I'm going to just discuss for the next 15 minutes spiritual principles and disciplines which Jesus Christ applied to his prayer life. And in starting, I want to say that whenever we look at Jesus Christ's life, you and I will always be challenged. Okay, we have never reached perfection. Christ is perfection. And so whenever we look at his life, we can never be satisfied with where we're at. We can be pleased, we can be encouraged, but he is the standard at which we must set every goal. When we look at man, we start to compare ourselves, as we spoke about yesterday. And when we look at man, we become comfortable in knowing, look here, I'm okay because look at his life. But whenever you look at Christ, you realize that there is much space for growth in your life. And you will always be challenged to move ahead. And I want to say that in every aspect of your Christian walk, your faith with Jesus Christ, you need to look at him as your example. He is the ultimate, the supreme, source of your Christian faith. If you can live like Jesus, then you are definitely pleasing God, the Father. In all that Jesus did, the Father was pleased. And if we follow the footsteps of Jesus Christ, we can know that our Father in heaven is pleased with our lives too. So examine your life to the standard of Jesus Christ, not to the person next to you. Now we need to know that if Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God himself prayed, if we realize that he prayed, how much more do you and I need to pray? We know that Jesus is in heaven right now. What is he doing? He is praying for you. He is interceding still, daily, before the throne of God. Now why must we not intercede for one another and for ourselves? Follow the example of Jesus Christ. There are several pointers which I'm going to go through, and however I'm going to go through very quickly. I urge you in your own time to go and look at all the scriptures given in the summary, because it will help you understand the extra that I am going to give to you within the notes that I have. Okay, the first thing I would like to mention is that Jesus was always spending alone time with God. Okay, we read in Matthew chapter 14 verse 23 that after he had dismissed them, the disciples, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. Okay, Jesus deliberately, he made a conscious decision to be alone with God. He didn't just hope for a time or for a gap within his ministry to say, okay, yeah, I've got 5 minutes, let me go pray. He ordered his life. He made it a priority to seek his Father's face and his Father's will for his life. Jesus went alone as often as he could to pray. At this point, I would like to say to you that do not think that I stand here before you having got this perfected in my life. I have been very challenged in preparing this. I have been convicted in preparing this. And so together, let him who has an ear hear what the Spirit has to say. Don't listen to me. Listen to the Word of God and let it change your life. Let it challenge you to be more mature and complete within your faith. Carrying on, Matthew 14 verse 13. We see he did not always succeed as crowds would follow him. We see that Jesus would try and get time alone, but crowds would follow him. That's why he had to get onto a boat and leave. He didn't always satisfy the people that were around him. Yes, he had compassion, and so he was driven to meet their needs. But there were times where he actually said no, because he knew it was more important to spend time with God and please the Father than please all these other people. Jesus, in his emotional pain, tried to find a comforter. When the crowds tried to stop Jesus and want to hear him teach or whatever, Jesus, in his pain, because he had just found out that John the Baptist was beheaded, he wanted to go and spend time with God. He needed to be comforted. He was grieving. And the best place we can go is to the comforter. So he sought to be alone with God because he needed God. We need to recognize our dependence on God. When you realize that you are dependent on God, you will make sure to spend time with Him and receive everything that you need to live a holy life, to live a righteous life, a life that sets an example for others. Okay, there's a great truth that needs to be noticed from these scriptures. Though we may pray in a group or in a prayer meeting, we have a great need to pray alone. It's good that we pray here this morning, but today, pray alone. For this to happen, it would be good to find a place away from any distraction so that you may fix your eyes on Jesus. It is often a quiet place where we will hear the gentle whisper of God's voice, which guides us and brings restoration to our weary souls. The scriptures there, 1 Kings 19, Psalm 23, and Psalm 46, verse 10. Okay, the next point, the watch night. When we have a very important decision to make in our lives, then it is necessary for us to spend more time in prayer. When I say watch night prayer, we know that before Jesus chose the 12 disciples, how long was He praying for? The entire night. He realized that to make such important decisions, he needed to spend more time with God, so he wouldn't end up making a decision he regretted. And we find that we become so much more in tune with whom God wants to appoint and choose when we spend time with Him. I think if Jesus didn't spend any time with the Father, He would have gone to the temple and chosen blind Pharisees. But He heard the voice of God saying, Peter, Simon, James, John, Judas. I wonder how Jesus must have struggled to choose someone whom was going to betray Him. Jesus again sets us the example when He spent the entire night praying about the disciples He was going to choose. We must not be hasty. I find for myself it's a problem to be hasty. We pray 5 minutes. When the next idea comes to our mind regarding what we prayed, we think that's the Holy Spirit. And we end up making stupid decisions. Praise God, we learn from our decisions, but we must not be hasty. We must seek God's wisdom. James chapter 3 speaks about heavenly wisdom. There's the wisdom of man and of earth, but there's heavenly wisdom. That wisdom you need to ask God. In 1 James chapter 5 it says, if you ask of wisdom, you will receive from Him who gives generously. We need to ask if you feel like you don't know. Alright, the next point, number 3. Praying for people. Okay, when Jesus prayed for people, we see it is undoubtedly one of the things most evident in His ministry and in His life. A life whereby He prayed for people and saw the power of God through Him. We read of many accounts where Jesus prayed. He even walked into areas and prayed for everyone. People were healed, delivered, restored, raised from the dead. The crippled walked. Brother Joy is an example of the power of God. He was paralyzed. He walks today. Praise God. But he's still able to do it. This is not only from when we read it in the Bible. It is now. Within the past 10 years, brother? 15 years. See, it was 15 years ago, not 2015. The blind saw. The deaf heard, the poor were blessed, and the lost were found. All because Jesus prayed. Jesus had a powerful public prayer ministry or a prayer life because He had a powerful private prayer life. We're going to go on to another point where it says you must not pray to be seen by men. Okay, the reason why Jesus had such an effective prayer life in the public was because he sought God in private. He was content in seeking God alone, and he didn't look for recognition from the Pharisees or from the people he was trying to win to Christ. He had no desire to please them, but he won them because in private he had a desire to please God. Children were brought for Jesus to lay His hands on them and bless them. I think when I think of that, I think in India that is very prevalent. It's common, y'all, because often we brought children, just bless them. And I think, what can I pray for this little child? No, God bless them, keep them, keep them from evil, protect them, cause Your face to shine upon them, grow them up in the ways of God, empower their parents to raise these little children up, bless them. That's what Jesus did. And Jesus used children. And so it's an honor, it's a privilege. Do not, as a pastor, lay hands on congregational members that pay more and children that don't give you any money. You should be just as passionate about laying hands on a child than you are about someone who gives to your church. We read in Luke chapter 22, verse 32, how Jesus prayed for Peter's faith not to fail. He prayed for his close friends. He prayed for those who he discipled. He didn't just hope that what he taught them was enough. He prayed that what he taught would be manifest in his life. And when Satan comes against those whom you disciple, you pray for them. You have authority over them and over the devil. In John chapter 17, we read of how Jesus prayed for his disciples and those who were still to believe. Jesus covered all possible areas in prayer. Okay, there's many people on the streets of India whom you need to be praying for. They are still to come to Christ. Not all of them, God knows, but you pray. You pray that when they come to repentance, that they will not turn away. That they will not then be sucked back in to the culture that steals and robs and destroys their life. And I'm talking about Hinduism, idol worship. Jesus was driven to intercede for people because he was compelled with compassion. Jesus still has compassion on us. He still loves us and he still intercedes. His great love for people ignited a desire to pray on their behalf. We too must be filled with the love of God for people when we pray. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 speaks about love. As it says that without love, there's a whole list of things that you can do which will mean absolutely nothing. It doesn't mention praying, but if you pray for someone and you don't have the love of God for them, it means nothing. Sometimes they just need to feel your love more than they need to hear your religious prayer. It was the touch of Jesus that set the woman with the issue of blood free. Just needed to touch Jesus. We just need to touch people sometimes and let the power of God leave us that he might receive the glory. Jesus' overflowing love for people resulted in him earnestly praying for them. Again, I say, let's follow their example of Jesus Christ. We need to ask God to give us a great love for people. I told God, I don't want to come to India if I don't have a love for you people. I do have a love for you because God has a love for you. He has put it in my heart to love you, to come here and to train you up because he doesn't want this world, this nation of India to perish. The next point, attractive praying. Our prayers need to be attractive. Okay, not on the outside, but in the very essence of our prayers, it needs to be attractive. Matthew chapter 6, 9 to 13 gives a clear guideline as to how we ought to pray. It's called the Lord's Prayer. It should be called the Disciples' Prayer. Jesus taught this to his disciples when they asked him to teach them how to pray. If you're going to ask someone to teach you how to pray, there must be something about their prayer life that attracts you to it. Jesus had an attractive prayer life and his disciples wanted to pray like that. Do you agree with me? How many of you look at the prayers of Paul in the book of Ephesians and Philippians? How many of you think, wow, I would love to pray like that? There's an attractiveness about their prayers. Why? Because it was the Spirit of God that was praying through him. Only when you pray in the Spirit will you attract people. Not only disciples, unbelievers. They see, they notice something different. They feel the Spirit behind what you are saying. And they recognize the faith with which you pray. The beautiful, majestic, yet simple way in which Jesus prayed attracted people to him. Jesus' prayers influenced people, especially those who heard him pray, and should today influence us as we have records of his prayers and accounts of his answered prayers. We should be stirred up in our faith to know that if we pray as Jesus prayed, not the same words, but the same principles that he used, we too should be encouraged because we even see the answers of the prayers he prayed. If the way Jesus prayed attracted people, then the way you pray should attract people. All too often, people make a show of prayer. They preach in prayer. They actually preach to people in the prayer meeting instead of actually asking of God the things that they need. Uttering lengthy prayers and sometimes shout in the hope that God would honor their prayer for its loudness. Loudness is an expression of faith though sometimes. Sometimes we get loud because inside of us we're stirred up because God is doing something. But just because your prayer is louder than the person next to you doesn't mean that God hears it clearer. God knows the thoughts that you have. He knows the words before it even comes out of your mouth. He knows it. He knows the intent of your heart. So it doesn't matter at what decibel you pray. It's about the heart. Do you agree? Are you challenged already? Okay. We must learn to pray like Jesus, because real prayer has the power to attract. Teaching secrets. The next point. Jesus taught us secrets. Again, looking in Matthew chapter 6, we discover three main principles. We must always be aware of this. Number one, we must not pray to be noticed by men, as I said. Hypocrites do that. We must rather go into a secret place and be seen by God only. We must not talk nonsense or babble in prayer. I think about what Pastor Johan said about his church. Every week the same thing. It's babbling. God doesn't like it. It's the same as the people taking a rosary and praying the same prayer 50 times. God doesn't like it. When we go into a secret place, God revealed this to me. When we go into a secret place to see God and no one knows, it's only to be rewarded by Him. It shows your faith. It reveals how much faith is actually within inside of you. Because if you didn't believe that God heard you, or if you didn't believe that God was going to meet you in that secret place, you wouldn't go there. But because you go there, God honors the faith that you have in knowing you want to meet with Him. You want an answer. You want wisdom. You want guidance. So those three things. You must be honest when you pray. You must be honest. The next point. Obedience actually begins in prayer. It is when you decide to do God's will and not your agenda, your own will, despite the way you feel. It is when you lay down your agenda for God's plans and purposes to be established. We see in Matthew chapter 26 how Jesus, in the greatest agony ever, sweating drops of blood, poured out his own soul to God and surrendered himself to his Father's will and not his. This kind of surrender is unquestionable submission, perfect obedience. So obedience starts in prayer. You cannot choose to do the will of the Father when you, in a moment. You must decide beforehand that when this comes, this is what you're going to do. This is truly the most difficult of prayers to be prayed. However, the vital lesson we learn is that nothing pleases God more than to see and hear His children ask that His will be done. Matthew chapter 6 again says, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And if you don't pray such prayers, you're not praying like Jesus. You're not praying the will of God. Jesus prayed that God's will be done because He told us to do the same. If He tells us to do the same, you can be sure that He's already set their example. You and I ought to follow that. Again, we have a perfect example of perfect submission. Just last one, John chapter 17, we see again an important aspect that Jesus gives to us in prayer. Simply the glory of God the Father in heaven. Everything that He did, everything that He wanted to do, everything that He prayed, everything that He said was to the glory of God. And so it must be for ours. And whatever prayer you pray, the result of that prayer, however it works itself out, must result in the glory of God, not in man or not in yourself. So Jesus prayed that His Father in heaven be glorified. And that is what yours and mine, our prayers, need to be as well. Ones that bring glory to God. So in conclusion, if Jesus did it, do it. And if Jesus said it, you say it. Okay. May God give us the grace to follow Him.